Before we get started, there's something you should know about the Chonilla podcast. We like to cuss. And if you don't want your kids to hear it, then listen to us when they're not around. But if you don't mind your kids listening to grown folks talk, then turn this shit up and let the show begin.
I'ma still be ballin' if this track never hits the charts. I'ma still be ballin' if this track never hits the charts. I'm ballin', bitch. I'm ballin'.
I'm ballin', bitch.
I'm ballin'.
You more chicken shit than the toilets at Wingstop. I get horny every time my funky beat drops. Getting money is my motto. And when I blow up, I'm smashing pop stars like Demi Lovato.
Okay.
I got fans in Toronto. I'm ballin',
playing
but
some intro
I ain't
music.
Never hit the lotto. I stay bossed up every day and I ain't never gonna stop. And money buys you happiness if you know where to shop.
Okay.
I'ma still be ballin' if this track never hits the charts. Yeah. I'ma still be ballin' if this track never hits the charts.
That's Mark I'm 5 and his creepy ass.
Yes, Mark 5.
I'm ballin', he's wearing a wolf shirt.
I'ma still be ballin' if this track never hits the charts. I'ma still be ballin' if this track never hits the charts. I'm ballin', bitch.
He ballin'.
I'm running to the money, Deion Sanders.
Oh,
and
no, that's
girls
sad.
Like a hammer.
Deion Sanders
are so trash.
Oh, wow.
Cut the drama.
He's stuck
so
in the 90s. Remember when they used to put Deion Sanders on their lyrics?
And white guys used to look like Paul Bernardo.
Yeah.
You looking for a nut,
yep.
I'm chasing after big bucks. You listening to the rap Gary Vaynerchuk.
Wow. Gary Vaynerchuk.
I'ma still be ballin' if this track never hits the charts. I'm ballin', bitch.
Wow.
I'm ballin', bitch.
I'ma still be ballin' if this track never hits.
All right, everybody. Finally, you are listening to Chonilla.com podcast, and I am Clove.
And I am Shirley.
And you are joining us today on a Sunday, May 31st, 2020 at 6:11 p.m.
in the motherfucking Eastern time. And you know what I forgot to say? That not only I am Shirley, but a.k.a. I am Canadian.
Ow!
You're listening to the Chonilla Podcast, a personal comedy journal of an interracial couple who explores the world from different perspectives and experiences.
All the time.
One breath.
Way to go, baby.
Cause I'm ballin', bitch.
I'm ballin'.
What's up, baby?
Nothing. What's going on with you, sweet pie?
It's been an emotional roller coaster.
No kidding. I've got no notes for today. All I've got on deck is Bible Scriptures 90210, and I'm letting you drive the whole way because you got a whole lot to say.
Yeah.
All right.
It's been a thing.
I'm looking forward to hearing all of it because the whole time you've been putting your show notes together, you've been like, Clove, I got to talk to you about this.
Yeah, I said, Clove, we gotta do a show. This is the perfect time to kind of get back on. I'm like, are we ready? You cool? And you're like, I ain't got no notes. Whoa.
My notes are just old. That's all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, my notes were kind of old too, but with everything that's been going on, it's been a thing. But before we get to that, I just want to see how you doing. How are you feeling?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I've had my head down at work for the past couple months, just trying to work on this scene.
And it's so funny because it's like, you've been like, remember? Okay.
And then I looked up for a minute and I'm like, oh fuck, the world's on fire. Nice. Holy shit. And you're like, Clove, you have no idea. God damn it. Oh, funny, not funny.
You're like, here I am trying to, you know, create video games and stuff. And I look up and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah. It's before we get to that, you know, we've been in isolation. I think officially, what has it been? I'm not counting. 11 weeks.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
And
it's been a blur.
It has been because the kids were supposed to go back to school March 23rd.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
Right. And I think they went off March 5th.
Mm.
So I think we're getting close. Yeah, I think we're getting fairly close. We're either 10 or going on 12 weeks this week or something. So
It's probably easy enough to find out.
Yeah. And it's been the longest that you've been home, technically home.
Oh, my God. It feels so good. It feels so good. The time that I used to take to travel, I'm using that time now to put some work in. And I was getting some good traction. So, yeah.
Because you just gained like 10 hours of your time for the past week. And that's like 10 hours.
I never saw it like that.
I know.
I never saw it like that.
I know. You've gained 10 hours per week working home. So 10 extra hours.
Oh, wow.
Right? Which you've been putting in at work. And then you were saving so much for you not traveling, you know, Ronan not traveling from school.
Yeah, on TTC.
That's just transportation alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, saving on gas a lot more because I'm not, you know, traveling y'all to like
So that's
the
how come our savings account is like, that's has money in it.
That's we're like, we're balling, bitch. We're balling. And then on top of that, you're not, you know, spending on food.
Like, oh, yeah. Like lunches and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like eating out because you know, mostly eat out and stuff, right?
Yeah, so
it's a lot, man.
It makes sense.
Right?
We're balling, bitch.
We're balling. So it's one thing I have to, you know, I had to learn. And then I was telling you around last week and this week is to kind of give yourself, you know, a strict time. Because I did the same thing when I started working from home is to overextend myself. Like work. I felt like I was working longer hours.
Right.
Hardly giving myself any lunch.
Yeah. You can get in the zone. And before you know it, you're like, wow, it's way past my bedtime.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So I was telling you like, Clove, look, if you're going to start at 7, you need to wrap it up by 4 at least.
And I'm like, no, I can't, Shirley. I can't. I got to get this scene done.
Yeah. So so that's something I'm sure a lot of people probably like in the same boat. You just think like going to the bathroom was thing for the first couple of months.
Yeah.
I'm like, I gotta finish this less. Just moving back and forth, rocking back and forth on my seat. I just gotta put the E in the email.
Your teeth are tingling. You're like, oh.
You're like, I could do this. Let me just finish.
Oh, just a little bit more. Just two more words I gotta type
out.
Your
brain and your bladder is fighting, and your brain is like, go to the bathroom. No, your bladder's like, go to the bathroom. And your brain, like, come on.
Just wait.
Just work with me. Here. Let's like make this muscle tighter.
Here, I'm gonna rock. I'm gonna rock back and forth. Okay, does that work?
Yes, exactly. So that's like a thing. So, but I'm glad you're working from home.
Same.
Working same. From home. I must say, the first 3 weeks. No, the first 3 weeks was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
No, maybe longer. The first 4 or 5 weeks was great.
Gotcha.
Everybody being home.
Gotcha.
Then around week six to eight, I started getting a little frustrated with y'all.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm trying to, that's when around the time of the schools are figuring out the whole online learning.
Gotcha.
And so I'm making sure the kids are like just setting everything up, making sure they're set up. And then on top of that, both of us working from home. So I'm like working from home, the kids interrupting. That's a whole adjustment.
It stacks for sure, yeah.
You know, yeah. So now it seems like we're getting to the routine. But I was just saying that to so many other people. Right now, the kids are kind of going through, like, you know, when marathon runners hit a wall, they're hitting their own wall too.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of parents have been talking how they've been catching their kids slacking or receiving emails from teachers like, oh, yeah, your kid hasn't been handing anything in, or they're like, there's 3 stuff that hasn't been handed in, you know.
That's kids, though.
Yeah, I know. That's real.
That's kids.
But you know, the other day when Lita and I were running some errands, she was with me running some errands. And then she said to me, you know, the first 3 weeks I was so excited, like, yeah, you know, spring vacation is long. But now I'm starting to, it's weird to say, like, I don't like school, but I miss that I don't like school, going to school. I was like, what? She's like, yeah.
I used to love going to school and complaining about school. I hate it here. How about you? Yeah, me too. I love it.
Yeah, she's like, I miss that.
Oh, that's
funny.
She's
like, I realize I've been taking school for granted.
That's funny.
I was like, really? Okay. So, yeah. That's the thing.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. What else you got, sweetie?
That's it. That's my week. That's
okay.
That's what's been going on. The whole like COVID and.
Thanks for catching me up.
No more nightmares. Yeah. No more nightmares. That's nice.
Okay. Okay.
First 4 weeks having those phantom feelings after coming back from the grocery stores. That was not fun.
Mm-hmm.
I had 2 weeks within this 12 weeks or something where I wasn't able to sleep. And so now it's just kind of like, getting into.
Yeah, it comes in waves for me. You know, it usually has to do with stress at work.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Yeah, that's real.
Yeah. I've been talking to a occupational therapist.
Oh, how's that going?
It's been going great.
So what is the difference with it's related for your work. They're checking in on you.
Yeah. And you know, the bottom line is occupational therapy too. They're definitely championing for the corporation, right? Because they want everybody to be max performers, right?
Yeah.
And it's just when, you know, things get stressful, you have to be able to talk to somebody that's not going to try and like downplay it, right? That's not going to be like, oh, don't worry, it'll pass, or you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But you want to talk to somebody who's going to like validate all those feelings that you have.
Yeah.
And make sure that you're not, you know, getting ready to, you know, jump off a staircase or something like that. You know what I mean? So it's nice to know that there's just a facility available for when you need to talk to somebody about how stressful it is without worrying, you know, the team that you're stressing out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. That's it. If you have the opportunity to use a occupational therapist, I would definitely.
Part of your benefits,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I would definitely recommend it. Yeah.
Now more than ever.
Yeah.
You know, for some, you know, I guess I kind of was making fun of folks who are extrovert, but this time is really tough on people, you know, like it's especially for extroverts. Like it's,
well, I'm an introvert and it's tough on me.
Yeah, same. Yeah. I realized like for me, like the first, like I said, for at least 4 weeks, I thought this is great. This is heaven.
Oh, yeah.
I get to stay home. I don't
Sit
have
back,
to interact
relax.
With people.
Oh, yeah.
I could do this online kind of thing. I'm
don't
fine
gotta
with
stand
that.
In a line for a bus. Ugh.
Exactly. And then sweaty people all
oh,
over you.
Oh, yeah. People coughing around you on the bus. Forget it.
You know, like I'm already, you know, but.
I'm over it.
This has made me realize how much us as human beings are such, like, even if you're introvert, extrovert, whatever,
right.
How much we need interaction.
Sure.
You know, we are such social animals, you know what I mean?
Absolutely,
social
honey.
Creatures.
Yeah.
So it just, I don't know, it just made me think of that. Who says, Suave2B says, same here from the nightmares. Self-care is so important now.
Absolutely.
Big time. Wow. Got some comments there.
Your brother called.
Oh, what is
he said he's leaving a message. He's leaving a message on the live chat saying, hey, I called. Call me back. We'll try and call you later, buddy. Promise.
News. I like news. News, what is in the news? Yay, the news is not bad.
The news is not bad, eh?
Before we get to the news is...
Okay.
Before that, you know, Brian, you know, we all know about Brian Adams. He broke my heart. You heard about that, right?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, but Brian's kind of racist. No, he is.
He's on some All Lives Matter shit.
He's on some, like, you know, he promised... He said something about Chinese... Well, basically, it was rude.
Right.
It was rude.
Okay.
Like, related to, you know, I can't do my show because of these motherfucking Chinese markets kind of shit.
Come on.
Like, it was it was just not cool, man. It was just so not cool.
Wow.
And then the thing is, animal rights, like PETA,
yeah,
they replied with saying that, well, they basically thumbs up his thing.
Of course they did.
So that's the whole thing. But And then you have the whole in Toronto, the Trinity Bells, you know, Trinity Bellwood Parks, where it was like the first day where it was beautiful outside and there was a whole bunch of people at the
See
Toronto
the pictures
Park.
Of the mayor there?
No, okay.
Is that for real?
It doesn't look like him.
No, okay.
No, because I look closely. I'm like, okay. I see the similarities, but I don't think it's him.
So he's a paid lookalike.
Yeah,
okay.
I was like, okay, Right. At first I was like, oh my God, like, I can't believe that.
Mask off and everything.
Looked close and I was like, okay, surely not all white people look alike.
They kind of do though. I'm just kidding.
But then I was like, okay, well, let me look closer. And I was I don't know if that's him. Like, I don't know. It's questionable.
Okay. So you don't buy it that it's him?
Nah, I don't think it is. Okay. No.
Okay.
That profile just looked, weird.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
No makeup.
No makeup. Yeah.
Hashtag no makeup.
Exactly. So.
All right.
And then the cool news is that actress Tara Reid, you know.
Who's that again?
She is the girl who is in Sharknado, the blonde girl.
Tara Reid.
She was in American Pie.
Yes. Okay, yeah.
So she might be playing like Carol Baskin in a Tiger King movie or something.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I think that'll work.
I could see that too.
Sure.
But I would rather Kate McKinnon because she's going to play it too, but for a different production or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be great.
So I see Kate McKinnon a lot more with some, with a
makeup. Agreed.
Yeah. But this is where we're getting, this is why we like,
okay.
In the news.
Ooh. Deep breath.
Deep breath. Okay. So I've been telling, the reason I was like, Chloe, we got to like get on and have you been seeing what's going on?
Yeah.
And like you said, you looked up and you're like, wow, everything's on fire.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So, and then when I was telling you the story, you're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Who's this person? Wait, what happened?
Yeah.
Wait, how did this happen?
Yeah.
So
I heard about George Floyd. Yes. And then you were like, and this person and this person. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So it all, yeah. So things like, for example, I don't know if it was last Monday or the Monday mm-hmm. before that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, U.S. was celebrating Memorial Day.
Right.
Okay. Actually, let's put it more in order. Well, actually, no, this is fine. The order is fine. Memorial Day, New York. Okay.
Yeah.
Amy Cooper went to Central Park with her dog.
Okay.
You know, firmly and exercising her white women privilege. Because
good for her.
She can't stand that black people are telling her what to do on the right shit to do at the park.
Yeah, she can't stand sharing space.
Right.
Especially with black people. Ugh.
She's an investment. She works for an investment company. She's an executive there.
Uh-huh.
And she's Canadian.
Of course she's an executive.
Yeah.
And of course she's Canadian.
Yeah. And she decided to, you know, run her whole, you know, just rambling and, you know what, I'm just going to play the whole situation because it's just so...
Too much to talk on,
it's
right?
It's just so, yeah.
So many layers.
Would you please stop? Sir, I'm asking you to stop.
Please don't come close to me.
Sir, I'm asking you to stop recording me.
Please don't come close to me.
Please take your phone off.
Please don't come close to me.
And I'm taking a picture and calling the cops.
Please call the cops. Please call the cops.
Please.
I'm going to tell them there's an African-American man threatening my life.
Please.
Okay. I had to stop right there.
Wow.
I'm going to tell them there's an African-American male that's threatening my life. Her saying that alone is freaking threatening.
It's violence.
That's
straight up violence.
It's straight up violence. Yeah. Like, you know full well what you were doing.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, she weaponized the police.
And you knew.
And she knew it. And she knew that it would be received that way as well.
Yeah. I'm a white woman. She just, her mind just put two. And then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and her mind just put two and two together.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care if she's Canadian or not. She just freaking knew.
Yeah. I'm going to sic the police on you the most polite way I can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And was that in her mind, her weird, I think in her mind, and I can't believe I'm doing this. Like, she thinks, oh, if I say this, he's just going to stop recording me and leave me alone. So she knew. She knew what she was doing.
Wow.
Yeah.
She's
and then
a terrorist.
That wasn't working. So mm-hmm. she went off to now this.
Please tell them whatever you like.
She's so off that she's strangling her dog by now.
Excuse me?
Like, she can't.
She sounds really scared, eh?
Yeah. She's like, excuse me? Excuse me means I'm giving you.
I can hear her voice like fluctuating. You know right. what I mean? Yeah.
She's like, because in her mind, she's like, oh, I figured if I say I'm going to call the police and tell them you're threatening my life,
yeah.
you're going to stop recording.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, you're not recording. So now she's kind of like, excuse me, kind of faking it, right?
Right.
Like, I'm still trying to give you some time, black man, before I use the police
before I bring
as
out
my
the
weapon.
Big guns.
Exactly. Yeah. So that she's so like can't think straight that her dog is like, I'm trying to breathe, you know?
Oh my God.
I'm sorry, I'm in a ramble and there is a man, African American, who has a bicycle helmet.
She's in a ramble.
Sorry, I'm in a ramble because I'm so scared right now because yeah. of his dark skin. Yeah. It's crazy.
And then Plum Good said, the way she went from zero to hysterical woman was insane. She knew what she was doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm in a ramble. I heard that call. I'd be like, so how come you can, like, talk?
So you're in your feels right now, right? You're in your feels right now. Yeah. And you're using us as a weapon.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that what's happening right now?
Right?
He's recording me and threatening me and my dog.
And the dog.
Yeah,
and
the
dog. Like, really?
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
Not just me.
No.
But
and
this
my
black
dog.
Man is so like,
out of control.
My dog is in danger,
oh, yeah.
too.
And my dog is scared.
White code, white code. You know how we feel about dog lives and not black lives.
Right.
Wow.
Yikes.
There is an African American man. I am in Central Park. He is recording me and threatening myself and my dog.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. She almost broke the back of that dog. Ooh, that was hard to watch.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you either. I'm being threatened by a man into the ramble. Please send the cops immediately.
Like, you know what kind of drives me crazy?
Yeah.
Is the I guess it's kind of like this attitude that you have the police at your disposal, like as soon as you need them, right?
Yeah.
Like it's like thinking that you it's like thinking you have this magic bat signal
yeah.
that you can put in the sky and yeah. that they're all going to come rushing to your whiteness.
Yeah.
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 That's real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come rush to my whiteness.
Come on. You guys know what I mean by African American, right?
Hello.
Right?
Come on.
Ugh.
Yeah. It's yeah. It's messed up.
Thank you.
And then the acting.
And the thing is, yeah, the thing is, she's becoming more and more erratic and unhinged, right?
Yeah.
And she's just like utilizing like this phone call to make it look like it's progressively getting worse.
Yeah.
When meanwhile, he's the one saying, can you stop coming into my personal space?
Yeah, all he was doing, Christian Cooper is his name. And he was he's an experienced local birder. Like he's a bird watcher.
Right, right, right.
You know, he's Harvard educated, minding his own business, member board of the local a Dubbin society, just minding his business. And he's just saying, lady, like your dog is making a mess. Like he just needs to be on the leash.
Yeah. And it's not a dog park, right?
No.
No, it's not a dog park. So that dog is probably also, when it gets rambunctious, I'm sure it scares away the birds.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Right.
Right. So as a birder, it's freaking frustrating.
Yeah, it's like, do you mind?
Oh my gosh.
Do you mind? Can you put
I'm
your dog
to
on
watch
the leash?
The birds yeah. and the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Especially
yeah.
we've been like inside all freaking past how long?
Yeah, and I'm sure it was a totally passive
That's
request
exactly
to share space, right?
Yeah.
Like we both have to share this. I want to see the birds. Your dog shouldn't be off a leash.
Yeah.
So put your dog on a leash. How dare you?
You can't be a black man telling me what to do. I'm a white woman.
I never.
Like
clutches pearls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's why he told her, because he's like trying to. Yeah. The dog is scaring off the birds, man.
Who knows? Who knows? But that's what my brain is telling me.
No. It makes total sense. Oh, yeah. So a lot of people were saying like, you know, like obviously, you know, Central Park Karen and all that kind of stuff. And then when it came out that she was Canadian, someone put like comment. There was one comment that's like in one, you know, swoop, Cooper has managed to destroy the notion that all Canadians are nice and that all university grads make educated decisions.
Okay, so first of all, First of all, you can be nice and violent at the same time. You could smile at somebody's face. You could
be nice, educated, oh my God, and violent.
You could smile in somebody's face and say, how would you like me to call the police, Mr. African-American? Would you like that?
Yeah. Yeah. And this notion. And you know
that's
what?
That's being nice and polite. There's a lot of that. But violent as fuck.
But there's a lot of that notion that Canadians are not racist and are like so tolerable and so like, you know.
Yeah.
Which is so like, first of all, what Canadians do very, very well is to be covert, hidden, secretive about, you know, about racism and the prejudice.
They hide it in the language big time.
Yeah. And it makes it so frustrating and really hard to really showcase and show like, no, there is a problem here in this country.
Yeah.
You know, and who feels it the most are like, you know, black folks and indigenous folks. Indigenous folks in this country, you know what I mean? Like, on top of that, your land being taken, continue to be taken, continue to be fucked with. How you have in this country 20,000 women that are missing, you know, and you have no idea who's doing this, like what's going on. You're not going to look into it. Anyway, it's a whole thing. So it was amazing. Not just like a lot of Canadians were just making these kind of comments like, oh, it's not looking good for like it's, you know, not that's even. Not how we are or whatever.
Yeah.
It was like, really?
I saw comments that was like, she's not a true Canadian. Like what?
What?
No. No.
She is
very real.
Right.
Yes.
Full on Canadian.
Yeah.
And not only that, that she's being full on, she feels freer as a Canadian white woman to really showcase in a country that allows you to be very overt. And you know what I mean? Like she, I think she's feeling freer to showcase it compared to in Canada. It's very like, under the rug.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
That's what I think.
I hear you.
Like, you know, and I mean, no. She knows.
Whack.
In Louisville, there is a black woman. She was a EMT, and she, her name is Breonna Taylor. It just came to me. It just came to my mind.
Gotcha.
So Breonna Taylor was, and this was before Karen was shot by the police.
Oof.
When that was in Louisville.
Okay.
In the evening.
Right.
And they just basically barged into their home as like a drug investigation.
Oh my God.
They didn't identify themselves. And then when they barged in, like, you know, her boyfriend, I believe his name is Kenneth.
Right.
Shot at them because he was like, I'm thinking we're getting robbed. Like, who barges in your house like that? Right.
The police.
Right.
Yeah.
Not knowing it's the police because they're not dressed as the police. They didn't identify themselves as the police.
Police and people who want to rob you. And sometimes it's both.
Yeah. That's Yeah. So he shot at them.
Because think about it. You go in, right?
Yeah.
You think you don't say anything. You rob them. You leave. Nothing happens, right?
Right.
But if something goes off, you can say, oh, no, we were there on a police thing.
Yeah. So she was 20. So they shot at her. She was 26 years old.
Oh, my
old.
God.
Like I said, emergency medical technician. And they shot at least 8 times. She was shot at 8 times by the officers. So I'm not sure if Kenneth is still, Kenneth Walker is his name. And he said he fired in self-defense because again, police did not announce themselves and he believed they were breaking into the house.
Mm-hmm.
Her family has now hired a prominent civil rights attorney, Ben Crump, who represented the families for Trayvon Martin and for Ahmaud Aubrey.
Gotcha.
And so you have that going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then recently, why now there's like, you know, major protests in Louisville is because the 911 call came out that like of Kenneth calling 911,
right,
saying like, you know, Breek is not, you know, breathing, and because they're asking him, is she breathing? Is she okay? And he's like, no. And so they heard the 911 call and it just erupted even further for the protest. So you have that going on, right?
Yikes.
That's all this in the span of like Yeah, and the whole the news of Breonna Taylor didn't come out, if it, you know, really so much until it was really like put out there on social media and the family really pushing it, because the media was really still showing a lot of, you know, was mainly focused on COVID-19 type of content.
Gotcha.
So you have that.
Gotcha.
Then you have what happened like with Aubrey, right?
Okay.
As we know, like with the two white men, and they were out for like, they were free for 2 months until the video has come out. So now
the video has come out.
Yeah. Which is the white father and son were charged for 2 months, 2 months after his murder. And the third man who recorded the incident has now been arrested.
Okay.
So recently been arrested as well.
What's he been arrested for?
I can't quite remember what was the
exposing whiteness,
pretty much. Right. But he was trying to say like they're threatening my life, and it's like, yeah, but why? Maybe accomplice or something like that related, right? Could be. I don't want to like you know, say 100% that, but yeah.
He's probably getting charged so they can like whatchamacallit, subpoena the phone records. And hold that.
And see, how come you were there and you didn't, yeah. And he didn't, I don't know if he called, I'm doubtful that he called 911 after, because it.
So he was there, like, filming these guys?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes, fully filming what was happening.
Oh, my God.
And then, yeah. So, yeah. So then you have that. Then you have what everyone, it's just. Just supercharged things even further with George Floyd, as you know the story with
I haven't watched it
myself. It's too hard to watch. Like it's, but then more videos coming out from different angles and different it's just, you know, it's insane. And so for the past, I'd say week now, It was like, I try to keep quiet about it, and I was getting overwhelmed and talking to a lot of my friends and people in the Black community and getting DMs.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's different about this one? You know,
right.
What is it about this one that now you finally cannot like deny the fact like, no, he was blatantly murdered? Because there's been so many situations, right?
Yeah.
From all the names that we just named, right?
Mm-hmm.
And someone was telling me, like, it's because of the angles. I think also the fact that we are in, you know, social distancing and quarantine or whatever, you know, the whole pandemic being inside, we're looking at things closer. You know, it's forcing us to look at things closer. That maybe that's what's making the difference. But it's just, you can't deny, like, based on the angles, and shout out to all the different owners and buildings and videos that they, because FBI was investigating, and they're like, they're trying some shit on that. And they're like, no, like people were just sending in their videos. And you can't deny like the, even officers, people who are officers are saying things like, no, the guy is handcuffed.
Yeah.
He can't do nothing to you.
Yeah.
At all. He's on the ground.
Yeah.
Why do you have your knee on his neck like that?
Why aren't you arresting him?
Yeah.
Why aren't you charging him with something?
Yeah.
That's why I'm, you know.
Why hasn't the other cops come in and say, bro, like literally physically pull him off?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. White folks are ready to say not all cops are bad, but they're ready to work with bad cops. They're ready to not arrest them. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. It's been hard. Like, but it's unfortunate. You do see some more people are seeing outside of black people, the Black community.
Right.
Who are seeing it. It is like for what it is, which is completely murder.
Yeah.
So he was fired. I think all four officers were all fired. Now they finally like charged whatever his name is, you know. And so
McGee.
Yeah. So now it's a matter of we'll see. Like it's great that he's arrested. I just hope that they actually like is hard to say. It sucks to say this, you know, but mm-hmm. so many times you see this situation and you're like, you know, more likely it's just going to be let off, you know? I just hope that he's going to go to jail for this. Mm. Like, I really, because if he doesn't, it's just going to continue to give excuses for the shit to continue to happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, status quo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll have to see. But it's been hard. It's been difficult. And then I was like, when was it? Two Wednesday or something.
Okay.
Our son, that was even hard because early in the morning, he just kind of walked in with this air of concern and confusion.
Right, right.
Of like, and literally he said, I heard they're killing black people. You know, when we're just that morning, that was the morning that we were supposed to, well, not supposed to, we did, I drove him to school to go pick up the rest of his stuff.
Wow.
And man, that was talk, you know, like, it's like, I had to reiterate the talk with him because yeah. I've done it. It's, you know, and it's so funny because I put it out on my social, I had to have the talk with him around when he was 15 with Trayvon Martin, because Trayvon really hit me hard because they were so close in age. Oh, my God. Then I had to do it again with this, you know, at 19. And then the first time I did the actual talk with him was, you know, nothing has happened, but I think he was like around 10, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's like we had to have like a bullet check again, like yeah. what do you do if the yeah. police stops you,
right.
make sure you don't have your hands in your pocket, like, you know what I mean, like, you say that to ask him, well, what are you, why are you being stopped, and yeah. what's the charge, and all that kind of stuff, you know. And and it just makes you think, like, how in other cultures, in other race, that they, it's nonchalant, you don't have that kind of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that was like, that hit me because I wanted to kind of just, I'm just going to stay quiet and yeah. just be by myself. When yeah. he asked me that question, it just, you know, I posted what I posted in my social.
Yeah. Good for you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You want to take a break?
Yeah.
Okay.
To continue with, more of the racist kind of bullshit.
Okay. I'm all buckled in. Ready.
Just to kind of add also back to Breonna Taylor, that, so, you know, when I was sharing about, you know, our son asking that question,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
about
yeah.
her, that they're killing black people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes my head hurt a yeah. lot. Yep. Go ahead.
How come?
Well, because my son, who's black, is saying they're killing black people.
Yeah.
That's real.
Yeah. And it's funny because when I shared that, I was asked, like, what did you say? And what I mainly said to him was, you know, we reiterated and went through the talk. You know, I didn't give him the
yeah.
full talk.
Yeah,
didn't
you
need to, because it's
yeah.
his third time.
Yeah.
Third time. And but I mainly said to him that the challenge is, like, I told him, I don't want to scare you about, you know, the police, you know, because there are good cops out there. However,
fuck those good cops. Fuck those cops, man.
The system and the way that they run things mm-hmm. is very not, they made you believe, or that whole idea that police is about peace
yeah.
or they're peacemakers. They are defensive. You know, everything they do, the way that they, you know, kind of, you know, do their work, or how they, you know, position themselves is yeah. in a very defensive way.
I think they're more offensive.
But oh, offensive. Ahead. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
You're right. That's
no,
that's what I meant to say. Offensive.
Okay. Yeah,
yes.
No,
it's very offensive.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes.
It's very, where are you going? Let me see some ID.
Right.
Fuck out of here.
It's not like, yeah, it's exactly.
Yeah.
It's very offensive.
I'm going somewhere
offensive,
where you're not,
I mean.
And that's not your fucking problem.
Yeah. So I wanted him to be aware of that,
yeah.
is that their style is on in a very offensive matter. And
right.
and I explained to him, in some, you know, every state, every province, you know, I'm going to use Minneapolis as an example. It has a very ranger mentality. Rangers were hired to be, they're the one who would chase the slaves that are running away.
Right.
And bringing them back dead.
Right.
Not even like bringing them back. You know, some, and so these kind of like ways of doing things trickles generation after generation after generation
as a style. It's like a death squad.
As a style of policing.
Yeah.
Right? And and they continue doing that.
Yeah.
And they continue upholding system of supremacy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They are, so like I said, every province, every state do things differently. But overall, I was telling him that.
And if I can just jump in.
Yeah, go.
It comes from such a toxic place.
Yes.
This policing, I don't even like using the word policing with it. But the way that they enact their enforcement on people of color, this is something that other nations have like looked at it and said like, hey, we need to do our policing like that. And that's why Canadian cops also have this kind of policing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like when the police...
It's about protecting the settlers, which is white. We're white. That's how it was founded on. But yeah, go ahead.
When I was younger, it was like, I think the cops had like those six shooters, right? Like those like revolvers.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Okay.
And there was always talk about them wanting more firepower.
Yeah.
Them wanting like guns that held more bullets and that were fully automatic. And it's like, what the fuck?
What? Yeah. Why?
Yeah.
Because if you are an experience, if you have the training as the police, wouldn't you do any and everything to make sure you're not going to kill somebody, to not have that in your conscience?
Yeah.
What is making you feel, and it allows for assholes like this dude who killed George to trickle into the system because they know, oh, this is a system.
Yeah.
I have prejudices.
Yeah.
I have bigotry.
So here's,
I am racist.
Yeah.
That's a way for I can uphold some sense of power because I feel powerless.
Yeah.
I'm all of this. I'm a fucking shit show.
And when he's saying his shit at the precinct, like, oh, I wish somebody would fuck with me today. When he's saying that shit at the precinct.
Who said that?
No, I'm saying.
Oh, we're giving an example of like,
this is not it. This is not a like one time like event with this guy. Like this guy has been fucking with black people to the point that it's escalated to this point.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
the
yeah,
other
yeah,
police,
yeah.
The other police are standing by watching this guy.
Yeah.
So when people tell me like some cops are good, tell me which ones are good. Which ones have arrested other cops?
Right.
None. Yeah. None have arrested other cops.
How come this guy is still there? Why did he continue if he has a history?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Why did you guys allow like this to happen?
It's insane.
You give him a suspension before and then he comes back. Like he shouldn't fucking come back. Anywho, it's like, so I was just explaining him that he has to understand that. Yeah. It's a very offensive approach and why this is the reason why you need to kind of go through these steps with the talk, like with the talk.
Yeah.
And my goal is not to make you fearful of the police, but let's go through the reality of a society that for the most part, who they target, who they have biases on for the most part,
the narrative,
and I'm going to use Canada,
is
black people and indigenous people.
Yeah. And the narrative that you always hear from cops is that they just happened to approach this person and this person got out of hand and they were defending themselves.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they don't include that they're presence and their like engagement with you is the first offense.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And your defense, your defense against them is seen as the offense. Like they've managed to control that narrative where it's like, no, you guys need to fucking leave me alone. Like this.
Yeah.
It's
I
so
saw
insane.
A video of Denzel Washington. I don't know if people can research it, but I've been in that position too. And he was in downtown Hollywood, and he saw that two police officers were arresting this young black man, and he used his public figuredom to, you know, to basically be a protector, because he knew, like, this person, this black man, did not look very stable. That's number one. And he could foresee that things will escalate to the point that he sat on the sidewalk to try to de-escalate.
Oh, yeah. Cops fuck with
homeless
people
cops
all the time.
And the black guy.
Yeah.
I witnessed a girl who was caught stealing. I mean, she was wrong. A young teenage black girl who was stealing. The owner in Montreal caught her, did not let go of her backpack. She's like freaking out. Police comes in. I'm seeing all of this and they are fucking.
Oh, this was you. Yeah. You talked about this on the show. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like way back. And then the way that they're messing with, like, they're just, they're not being peaceful about it. They're just using language and doing things to themselves escalate for not only the girl that they're arresting, but her friend, to try to get her friend to be arrested too.
That cop you were dealing with was unhinged, and he and the expectation is that you remain calm.
Yeah.
You remain calm, but the police are the ones that are unhinged.
So here I am. I'm seeing her friend who's practically is about to... I could see that the girl, they're practically want... She was getting ready to be arrested, her friend. Her friend who was trying to get her friend's cell phone so she could call her mama or her family or whomever to say, your daughter right now is, like, being arrested.
Right.
And these guys were being such assholes to not allow them, like, not allow her to get the phone.
Right.
It was just so fucked up and weird to see how, like, you see how they can just, it's like abusing power. Because that's what it was. Oh, it was like totally.
Every interaction where the police aren't informing you of your rights is an abuse of power.
Yeah.
So anytime the police like were to step up to somebody and say like, hey, what are you doing here? Let me see some ID. That's a complete violation of this person's rights and freedoms, right? Yeah. So when that happens and the cop doesn't inform the citizen, that's an abuse of power.
Yeah. So I'm here and I'm like,
why is nobody looking at that?
Yeah. So I said, I told her, stop. Like, you need to stop. And it was kind of like what Denzel was telling that guy. You need to stop. You need to chill. Like, chill.
You are because escalating
you're
this.
About, you're as, like, it's about to get worse. You're putting fuel to these off because their style is offensive.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so it's about going off.
Yeah. And anybody who thinks like, oh, well, cops have bad days too, then you don't go to work that day.
Right.
Then you take a sick day.
So I told her to shut up. Like I said, out loud, shut up. You're making it worse.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Just listen.
Right.
And then the cops were like, you need to listen to, like, you know, they were saying, listen to her kind of thing, as in me.
Yeah.
But then they're, like, doing things that were just, like, okay, no.
Antagonistic.
Antagonizing. Yes. And then I was, like, trying to grab her, and then the dude came at me and yelled at me. Like, you need to, la da. And I was like, I had to put my hands in like, practically in, up and in front of his face, like, look. I'm just trying to help this girl because there's no reason for you to be like this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, once you start standing up for yourself, watch how quick the cop's hands go for their gun.
Close.
Just as like putting it on their, putting their arms on their hips, putting their hands on their hips. Trust me, one of those hands is on those fucking guns.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. It's scary. So, oops, excuse. Anyhow.
And they know that that's a violent move.
Yeah.
That's like where I'm going to escalate this if you don't shut up.
So in the end of that story, I winded up like I had to rush because it was around. I was waiting for the bus to get to work. I had to go because things kind of cooled off.
I remember.
And then I was telling you in the end, I called the owner because I said, what happened? And she said, oh, I didn't charge her. And I started crying because I was like, oh, my God.
She's a child.
That's exactly what she said.
Yeah.
She's a kid. I just wanted to get the item back.
Yeah.
It did. She's like, I felt so bad. I didn't want it to get like that. Because she didn't call the police, eh? Where we live was close to the police station. The police happened to pass by and then they stopped. She was never her intention. Okay. She's a Chinese owner and she never had any intention to call the police because, like she was telling me, she just wanted to get the item back and she understood she's a teenager and I don't want this to happen.
Do you have the video ready?
Anyway, no.
Okay.
No, there's no, anyway. So the video is for something else.
Gotcha. But anyway,
so there's that. And, but speaking of that, the fact that this woman, the owner in Montreal, and she knew like, look, that's a, I'm a person of color. She's a child. It's not even black. She's a child. I'm not going to put that on her life.
Yeah.
This history.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? She just knew. And it's the same way that, like, you know, during my all these calls and DMs that I've been receiving, and I've had some white folks kind of like, I feel helpless. I don't know what to do. And one of the things that I saw today that kind of got that really nearly got me in tears is like with what happened with Breonna Taylor in Louisville. There was white women in Louisville lined up to protect black protesters.
Oh, nice.
Which was awesome. Like, that's the way to use your privilege for protection.
Yeah, become an accomplice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Exactly. So I thought like, so when people, you know, basically what they said, according to The organizers for Black Lives Matter Louisville told the Courier-Journal that the white protesters used a bullhorn and said, "If you are going to be here, you should defend this space." And then after the command, they instructed those present to form the line facing the police at 6th and Jefferson Street in Louisville.
There you go.
And then she was asked, asking for white folks to use their privilege and put their bodies between police and other demonstrators.
Nice.
Yeah. They didn't need to be convinced. Nobody had to be convinced. Mm-hmm. Everybody willingly and enthusiastically just did it.
Yeah.
Just dope.
Yes.
That's how you use your privilege. that's allyship, yeah, right there.
I hear you.
And an ally is someone who's like, no, when push comes to shove, I'm ready.
Yeah, I'm right in the middle.
I'm ready to physically actually fight any form of oppression, racism, prejudice, bigotry.
Antifa.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yes. And then here, and then so after, and to kind of tie it back to when I shared what I shared about our son saying what he said,
uh-huh.
I've seen some comments that were like, well, you know, in Canada, like, you know, it's not that bad. And it's like, what?
I die inside every time I hear that.
Right?
I die inside every time I hear somebody say, well, at least we live in Canada.
And then after, like, yeah, after that comment happened, maybe either the same day or the next day, we find out about Ontario right now, the police in Toronto is under investigation for the death of Regis Korshinsky Paquet, where she basically...
Is that a French name? Paquet?
I think so. Paquet? I hope I'm saying it.
Is it with a Q?
Yeah.
It should be Paquet. Yeah.
Paquet, but it's not T-T-E.
Oh, okay.
It's all right. P-A-Q-U-E-T.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So a special investigation unit stated in a news release that the Toronto Police has responded to an apartment building on High Park Avenue near Glendale. That was around 5:50 p.m. for a domestic incident. Officers mm-hmm. were inside an apartment unit in the building's 24th floor when, according to the SIU, they observed a woman on the balcony. A shorter time later, the woman fell from the balcony to the ground, which is Regis Korshinsky Paquet. Circumstances surrounding the woman's death are now being probed by two investigators and two forensic specialists from the SIU, a civilian oversight agency that, you know, investigate reports involving the police. And but this is what her mom said.
I got mixed feelings about this SUI, this special unit investigation. What's it called? Special investigation? SIU?
SIU.
Okay.
Yeah. And then so somebody tweeted, her mother's witnessed her own daughter's murder, and CP24, a news broadcasting channel, was advised by police not to report it, as they said it was a suicide. That's what the police was going around saying.
Wow. Yeah.
And her body was on the lawn for at least an hour. Like for.
Wow.
So this is like what the mom said.
What'd they do? The police killed my daughter, came in my apartment and shoved her off the balcony. And told CP24 not to come here, that it's a suicide. But the police killed her.
Yo, we at 100 High Park. If you a real motherfucker, if you a real nigga, come down here right now. They're trying to sweep this shit under the rug. They killed my cousin. They told CP24 not to come. It's a suicide. They left the body there. The unit higher than the police is here. They're trying to tell us, come to the station to get statements. And we're witnesses. Whoever knows lawyers that deal with this type of shit, or whoever's important, if you feel you're important, come the fuck down here right now. If this was you or your cousin, you close, come down here right now. Because it's some bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is some bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
So, yeah, and I think he...
In Toronto. We're done protesting. My cousin off the building.
just like in the background, there was a part where you see behind him like a sheet cover, like a yellow sheet cover. And I believe like that's her body right there.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
The police threw my cousin off the building.
So there was a protest yesterday at 2 p.m. And it was not planned or organized by the family. The family is thankful of the outpouring of support from the community.
Right.
And to the organizers who for the event, for bringing attention to a very serious matter. The family asked that anyone attended the protest yesterday observe social distance. You know, they wanted to make sure everyone social distance to ensure those attending to stay safe and remain peaceful in honor of Regis. They also stated that a statement that was made on behalf of the family, that any statements made by the family members prior to the press conference on May 28 are not part of the official Korshinsky Packwood statement. There are beliefs that the family still hold to be true. However, they are waiting on evidence from the investigation before any further conclusion can be made. Then there were 911 call and other factors with this, that a knife was mentioned at a police press conference on the 29th on May 29th in conjunction with 3 911 calls. The family states that when police arrived and spoke with Regis, Claudette and Reese, there was no knife present and no assault taking place. The family strongly believes that Regis' death could have been prevented, and all inquiries can be directed to toinfo@ matlegal.ca.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but we've talked a lot about the police murdering people.
I just want to say this one last
ahead.
Thing.
No, go ahead.
And I shared this, and I thought that was really deep and on point with what Trevor Noah is saying, and that's what it is. It's like. It's the feeling why everyone is so frustrated and so like, especially in the Black community, is that, and I had to learn that as I grew older. You know, you're told when you're a kid to be a good person, to be, you know, respecting other people, to be sharing and kind and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I love how he said, it's like a social contract as human beings to be like that with each other.
That's what the Charter of Rights and Freedom is. It's a social contract.
Right. If I'm going to live in this society, I'm going to follow the, right?
Yeah. But anybody who lives here, this applies to you.
Right.
And everybody's agreed that it applies to everybody.
But does it apply to everybody when it's not?
No.
It's when.
No, it clearly doesn't.
Who was included in writing that charter?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I hear you.
So, what does that, who? What does the room look like?
Yeah.
How did it look like?
Yeah.
Was it predominantly white male?
Of course
it was. All white male?
It was all white
male. Of course
male.
We all know that it was.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's like, who does it apply for then?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And obviously,
it's supposed to be universal. Yeah.
Yeah.
But as soon as somebody says like, hey, I'm missing like 4 and 5 or 6 and 7 of these, what are you going to do about it? Oh, no, you're not.
Right.
What are you talking about?
In the U.S., you have like, you know.
At least you have all the other ones. Right. Don't worry. You're good.
Yeah. So like U.S., the 13th, how you could fucking take advantage of that in order to place Black lives in jail. Like, anyway, all that kind of
it's
stuff.
It's all loopholes.
But it just makes you realize like the frustration is that for the majority of people of every culture, every race, whatever, is that we have a social contract to not be asshole to each other. I'm not going to kill you. I'm not going to attack you for like, you know, I'm just not like, we're not going to do that to each other. And it's frustrating to see that it's not the same for us.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're being fucked with. I agree to be socially like aware of your existence.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't you doing the same with us?
Right.
And that's the frustration. Keep that the constant breaking the contract with us. You know, so
I hear you.
That's how I'm going to leave it at that.
I hear you.
It's Sunday.
Bible scriptures. Going out to 1 hour.
All right.
Bible scriptures. 9:02 1 hour.
It is about that time. So for anybody new, This is the part of the podcast where I share what I've read in the Bible and parody it by regurgitating it as an Aaron spelling-like melodrama.
Nice.
So last time, we heard about 42,000 people killed for mispronouncing Shibboleth.
Yeah.
We heard about God placing the Philistines as rulers of the Israelites.
Yeah.
And we heard about the birth of Samson.
Samson!
So the players tonight are Samson, Samson's father and mother, 30 Philistine men, Samson's wife, and Samson's father-in-law.
Nice.
All right, so we're on chapter 14 of the Book of Judges. And I call this chapter Samson Ties the Knot.
Nice.
So some time has passed since Samson was born, and we opened with Samson being a creeper in a place called Timnah.
Wait, why is Samson being a creeper?
I'll get to it.
Oh, okay.
And he's watching a Philistine woman and tells his parents to go get her so that he can make her his wife.
Samson?
Yeah, but his parents are all like, but she's a Philistine. And raised by people with foreskins.
Oh, my God.
Wouldn't you rather marry one of your relatives or at least someone from our people?
And Samson's parents. So judgy.
And Samson is all like, nope, she's the only one for me. What Samson's parents didn't know was that this was the start of a plan to end the Philistine rule over Israel. Dun, dun, dun. Oh. Plot twist. So as all three of them were walking over to see the woman Samson wanted and to see if the woman Samson wanted would be a match, they passed by a vineyard where a lion was getting ready to attack them.
Okay.
Yeah. So God gives Samson superhuman strength. And
without, just like that?
Just like that.
Okay.
And without alarming his parents, Samson sneaks over to the lion and tore it open with his bare hands killed it.
Like, yeah, I remember in my old kid Bible.
Yeah.
You know, now I think about it, my kid Bible was kind of bloody, but kind of violent.
I don't know how any Bible couldn't be bloody.
Because I remember him grabbing the lion by the mouth to kind of rip it open.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's a little extra.
A little extra.
Let me see here. They then find the woman and introduce Samson, and he was like totally into her.
Okay. What was her name? Oh, they don't say her name.
Oh, okay. No, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's very rare that women get names in the Bible, but whatever.
Okay.
So,
but I mean, in this case,
it's his wife.
Delilah?
No.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay.
Plot twist. So some time goes by, and Samson is returning to Timnah to get married. On his way back, he sees the dead carcass of the lion still in place where he killed it, and except now it has like a bee's nest inside of it along with some honey.
Wait, say that again? Sorry, say that again?
So they're walking back to go to Timnah so Samson can get married.
Oh, okay.
And Samson sees the lion again that he killed like not too long ago.
But wait, like... Okay, like it's dead though.
Yeah, it's
okay,
dead.
Okay,
yeah,
okay,
it's
okay.
Dead, and but now it has like bees inside of it and honey, right?
Okay.
So he went over to it and scooped out some of the honey and ate some of it.
Gross.
And then he shared some of the honey with his parents without telling them where it came from.
Wow.
Yeah.
Samson.
So now, because of
I don't
like,
think he likes his parents.
Here, have some of this. Yeah. So now, because of customs and stuff like that, Samson held a big feast that was supposed to last 7 days.
Okay.
When the Philistines finally saw him, they gathered up 30 Philistines to stay close and watch over him during that 7 days.
7 days?
Yeah. Samson sees the 30 Philistines mean mugging him and tells the 30 men that he wants to make a bet with them. And he's all like, hey, fellas. I see you
eyeballing me, son.
And I think we should make a bet. If you can solve my riddle within the 7 days of the feast.
7 days.
I'll give you all new threads so you can look sharp. But if you can't solve my riddle by the seventh day, you have to buy me some new threads. So the 30 men look at each other and agree to the bet. So they're all like, tell us the riddle already. So Samson says, out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. Hashtag bars. So the 30 men racked their brains for 3 whole days and couldn't figure out the riddle.
Oh, you got 4 days left, fellas.
But on the 4th day, the 30 Philistine men went to Samson's new Philistine fiance and are all like, you need to stop fucking around and get us the answer to this riddle. Or we're going to set you and your father on fire.
That's not. Wow. Yeah. Wait. That's cheating.
Wait. Are you trying to steal our land? Don't know why they go there. Don't know why they're talking about land theft, but it's there.
Wait, who's asking? Are you trying to? Excuse me.
This is the 7 men that were there.
Who are trying to figure out the riddle are asking them, are you trying to
correct.
Steal
land? Okay. Correct. Was it 7 men or was it? No, it's 30 men, right?
Yeah. 30.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, right. Yeah. A whole bunch of dudes. So now we cut to Samson's fiance throwing herself onto Samson and crying all like, you don't love me. You're trying to trick my people with your stupid riddle and won't even give me the answer. And Samson is all like, I haven't even told my own parents. So why would I tell you? And for the whole 7 days, Samson's fiance was throwing a tantrum and being like obstreperous. So Samson caves finally and tells her the answer, which she then goes and tells the 30 men.
Oh.
Yeah. So before the sun sets on the 7th day, the 30 men went to Samson all proud and cocky like, there's nothing sweeter than honey and nothing stronger than a lion. But Samson ain't stupid. And he's all like, man, none of you would have ever guessed that unless you were plowing my heifer.
Whoa.
Yeah.
He didn't call her that, did he?
He absolutely does.
Oh.
Yeah. So, oh. So Samson starts feeling the power
of. Jose says, wow, that cheating.
So Samson starts feeling the power of God again and is all like, I'm a head out and gets up, goes over to a place called Ashkelon. And kills 30 men there, then takes all of their clothes and gives them to the 30 men who cheated his riddle.
Okay.
Yeah, so he didn't buy them new clothes.
Oh, he'd be cheating too.
They were new to them. Oh, the clothes were new to them, but because they cheated, they didn't get new clothes.
Like new, not right. new. Right. Not Supreme. Right. You ain't getting no Supreme. Uh-uh. You could pass the Fashion Nova.
And that's the end of chapter 15.
Oh, wow.
Or no, that's the end of chapter 14. We're going to go on to chapter 15. And I call this chapter Samson Revenge. Mm. This time it's personal.
I like that. I want to see that movie.
So now some time has passed and we see Samson carrying a goat on like over his shoulders on the way to see his wife. But when he got there.
I haven't had goat in this a long time.
Yeah,
sorry, I don't know why.
I think goat's overrated. But anyways, but when he got there, he saw that his father-in-law was in front of the door to her room and wouldn't let Samson in.
Okay.
So Samson's father-in-law was all like, oh, man, I totally forgot that you hated my daughter. I totally thought that you hated my daughter for snitching on your riddle.
Oh, Dad, come on.
Yeah.
You totally snitched.
And I remarried her to your best man.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So Samson rolls his eyes and was all like, fucking Philistines, always trying to pull some shit. So the father is all like, you can always marry my younger daughter if you want. And Samson is all like, nah, fuck that. I've had it with you motherfuckers.
Wow.
So Samson is super mad right now and leaves to
rightfully so.
Yeah. And he leaves to catch 300 foxes. Once he had the 300 foxes, he tied them all together in pairs by their tails.
Okay.
And then he tied torches to all the pairs of foxes and lit the torches.
Okay.
And he let the foxes loose where all the grain was being grown and stored, like the wheat fields and the vineyards.
Okay.
So when the Philistines saw their shit burning down, they were all like...
Oh, so he like, all the foxes, because they burn fast, he just spread it like throughout the land, like their stuff.
They had a torch tied to them, and they would just like, in both boxes are tied by their tail, so they're like in panic mode, and they're just like dragging fire everywhere.
Wow.
Right. So when the Philistines saw their shit burning down, they were all like, who the fuck did all this shit? And the town folk were all like, it was Samson. He's wicked mad that his father-in-law remarried his wife to his best friend. So the Philistines.
To his best friend?
Yeah. Or no, what? To his best man. Sorry, his best man.
Okay.
So it's just as bad though. So
talking so much.
So the Philistines went to see Samson's wife and father-in-law and burnt them to death.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they be bringing, wow, because they this, brought this problem.
This causes Samson to go all Super Saiyan on all the Philistines and was all like, I'm not going to stop until I get my revenge. He attacked and slaughtered everyone he could see and then went to a cave so he could take a minute, do some yoga, and try to recenter himself. Right? So now we cut to the Philistines setting up camp in a place called Judah. And the people of Judah were all like, excuse me, but are you here to start a fight with us?
And the rumor mill they've been hearing about him. They're like, oh, he's got a reputation. And we don't need this kind
of. You guys don't like him and you're here. So the Philistines were all like, oh, no, we just want Samson so we can do to him what he did to us.
Who says that? The people of Judah? Wait.
No.
The Philistines.
The Philistines who set up camp in Judah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, got it.
Right.
Okay.
And let's see here. So 3,000 folks from Judah went down to the cave where Samson was cooling off.
Wow, snitching.
And they were all like, yo, Samson, holy shit, man. You know the Philistines are the bosses around here, right? You know you put us, all in danger, right?
Mm.
And Samson was all like, fuck them. You know what they did. And the people of Judah were all like, but now we have to tie you up and hand you over to them.
What?
Right. So Samson takes a moment to think and is all like, you promised to deliver me alive. You won't try to kill me once I'm tied up. And the people of Judah reassured him.
Oh,
and
man.
Samson went with them peacefully.
Okay.
So once the Philistines saw Samson, coming out, they surrounded him and started shouting, like just totally pissed off.
Yeah.
And once they got close enough, God filled Samson with the spirit once again, and the ropes that had him tied magically burnt off.
Nice.
So then Samson saw the jawbone of a mule laying on the ground. So he picked it up and used it as a weapon against the Philistines and killed 1,000 men with it.
Whoa.
Just by himself.
Okay.
Then Samson yelled, with a donkey's jawbone, I have made donkeys of them. With a donkey's jawbone, I have killed 1,000 men. Hashtag bars. And then
bars.
And then he dropped the jawbone like a mic. They winded up renaming this place, where this all shook down, to Ramath Lehi.
Okay.
Yeah. So now Samson was exhausted and super tired. So he cried out to God all like, I did this for you. But now I'm super thirsty and I feel like you're just going to watch me die of dehydration. Are you really going to let these foreskins win by watching me die of thirst?
He calls them foreskins?
Yeah, it's like a pejorative. Wow. Yeah. So those dirty foreskins. So God opened a stream for Samson to drink from. And when he drank from it, he felt super strong and rested again. And Samson then went on to lead Israel for the next 20 years.
Oh, okay.
So Samson was a judge of Israel.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
It's in the book of Judges. Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Got it. Okay.
Wait, we are at the book of Judges, right? Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Anyways, moving on. So chapter 16, I call this one Samson Meets Delilah, and it's complicated.
Facebook update.
Now one day, Samson was visiting Gaza and feeling kind of horny and decided to link up with a sex worker.
Oh, I remember that.
Okay, yeah. So while he was hooking...
Why do I remember that?
I don't know.
I was a kid.
Probably because it was conflicting with all those other messages in the Bible, but whatever.
No, I think I was a teen.
Okay.
I was a teen, teen going to Sunday school. And I remember being
Wait a minute. But wait.
Are we not going to point out that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just going to ignore that part.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm good to ignore it if you are. Okay. Yeah. So then let's see. So while he was hooking up with her, the people of Gaza heard he was in town and decided to plot against him.
Okay.
To make sure Samson couldn't escape, a giant mob gathered around the sex worker's house, and they gathered around the city gates.
Okay.
The mob agrees to wait until morning before they attack Samson. But what the mob didn't expect is for Samson to dip out in the middle of the night. So when Samson saw all the people around the city gates.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, why are they, the mob trying to get Samson again?
Because he's trouble. Because he kills a lot of people.
Right. Okay. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So when Samson saw all the people around the city gates, he grabbed the poles that were holding the gates.
I remember
like
that.
The poles.
Yeah. And I remember that.
And ripped those out of the ground
yes.
and carried them up onto a hill that looked over a place called Hebron.
Okay.
So some time goes by and he winds up falling hard for a woman named Delilah.
Yeah.
So the people.
Hoard.
So the people in charge of the Philistines saw this as an opportunity to get rid of Samson.
Mm.
So they started sneaking around to make plans with Delilah. When they found Delilah, they were all super shady, like, psst, how would you like to make 1,100 shekels from each of us? Samson is really strong, and we need you to tell us how we can capture him.
Mm. Yeah.
So when Delilah sees Samson, she decides to cuddle up to him and whispers in his ear, I want to tie you up tonight, but I need to know how, so it feels legit. So Samson gives her his side eye and is all like, if you tie me up with fresh bowstrings, I'm all yours for the night. But make sure they're fresh and not dry because the dry ones kind of pinch.
Okay.
So Delilah tells the Philistines and they bring her 7 fresh bowstrings. She then hides the Philistines who brought her the bowstrings in one of the rooms in her house.
Why did Delilah do this?
Let me finish the story. Yeah, it's complicated.
Okay.
So once Samson shows up, she ties him up. Once she felt all the strings were fastened tight enough, she yells at Samson, oh no, the Philistines are here. And Samson jumps up, snaps off the fresh bowstrings, totally ready to kick some ass, and is all like, huh, what? What's happening? So now Delilah is not impressed and is all like, you humiliated me. Why would you lie to me about the bowstrings? Please tell me how to tie you up for realsies this time. So Samson's a little more suspicious this time and tells her that if she uses new ropes this time, she should be able to keep him tied up.
Dude, why did you not break up with her?
So once she had Samson tied up with the new ropes and the Philistines were waiting in the back room, she starts acting all scared again and is all like, Samson, the Philistines are here. So Samson snaps the new ropes off and jumps into an attack stance and is all like, where? And so now Delilah is not impressed again.
She's frustrated.
Yeah. And starts acting out a little bit.
Yeah.
And she's all like, why do you keep lying to me and making me look stupid? Tell me right now how to tie you up properly. So Samson is all suspicious again and says to Delilah,
Samson, I mean,
the only way you can tie me up and hold me down like a regular man is to weave my 7 braids into some fabric using a loom and then tighten it with a pin. So when Samson was sleeping that night, Delilah took the 7 braids, put them into some fabric, and then tied Samson up with it.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as she felt the pin was tight enough and the Philistines were ready in the back room, she starts screaming, Samson, the Philistines are here again.
Oh my goodness.
So Samson once again jumps up out of his sleep, shakes off the pin and the fabric and is all ready to fight. Delilah starts acting like super spoiled. She's all like, you don't love me, Samson. If you did, you would tell me where all your strength comes from and you would stop making me look stupid all the time.
Why is Samson keep falling? Ugh.
I
don't feel sorry for Samson.
Delilah's pretty hot, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So Delilah kept at it this time and kept nagging him for days about not knowing where he gets his strength.
Where's your strength?
Yeah.
What's up with your strength, Samson?
Where's your strength coming from?
What's going on? Hello, strength.
What are you scared to tell
me? How you be strong, Samson?
So Samson started getting sick of it and was all like, listen, woman, I'm a Nazarite. Who's been down since the get down. All my strength is in my hair. If it were shaved off, I'd be a regular as fuck.
Regular schmegula.
Regular schmegula. So now Delilah starts plotting again and tells the rulers of the Philistines to come back and help her with her latest plan.
Okay.
So they came back and hid in the back room again with all the silver they had promised Delilah. And on that night, Delilah had Samson resting on her lap and she was petting him until he fell asleep. Once she tied his hands again and shaved his head, she yelled, "Samson, the Philistines are here." So Samson tried again to break free, but was unable this time. And he was all confused and was all like, "What the fuck is happening right now? God, where are you?" Mm-hmm. But God was gone, nowhere to be found. At this point, the Philistines had captured Samson and decided to gouge out his eyeballs.
Whoa.
Yeah. They put bronze shackles on him and made him work the mill grinder that was in the prison. And little by little, his hair started growing back. Ooh. Yeah. So now we cut to the rulers of Philistine who are in the middle of having a huge party to celebrate that their god Dagon had finally delivered Samson to them. Mm-hmm. And we're all like, "This is one of the best parties we've ever had. Someone go get Samson out of the dungeon so he can dance for us."
Oh, wow.
So a couple of servants go down. So a couple of servants go down to get Samson and they bring him up to the party. On the way back, Samson asks to be leaned against one of the poles that supports the entire building. At the party, there were thousands of people. The balcony inside the building held over 3,000 people alone. Okay. Once Samson was put next to the support pillar, he started praying to himself, all like, "Hey, God, Samson here. I don't mean to be the guy who does you a favor just to turn around and ask you for a favor back, but I gotta be that guy right now. Help me get revenge on these motherfuckers for my eyes." He then puts one hand on the support pillar he was leaning against and placed his other hand on another support pillar close by. Mm-hmm. Oh, my mic's acting up. And hold on a second. Close by. Samson then yells at the top of his lungs, "Fuck you, assholes!" and squeezes the two support pillars together, which brought down the entire building.
And
killed everyone in it. Mm-hmm. Samson killed more people in that single event than in all the battles he had fought up until then.
Wow.
So, fun fact, the New Oxford Annotated Bible says that a young goat was the usual gift for sexual intercourse.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, "I want to sleep with you. Here's a goat.
Here's a goat. Oh, so wow. You can eat.
We'll have goody good. Rice good.
So next time we'll hear about someone named Micah and his mother who hires a priest for their house of gods and a masker of peaceful and unsuspecting people. More genocide.
Ooh, pass the plate.
And donate. Pass the plate.
And donate.
Pass the plate.
And donate.
Pass the plate.
You gotta donate.
We learned about the Book of Judges. Chapters more and more.
Samson did learn to break up with Delilah.
Pass the plate. He's got that Love Jones.
That Love Jones is real. Pass the plate. And the mate. Samson, you should have learned. But it's okay.
Sweet revenge.
And his power and the revenge.
Pass that plate.
Oh, go to chonillanetwork.com. When you get to the site, click on the donate button. This helps support the show. It helps us to keep going and going. And it's as little as $5, you know? For us to bring you some more of the next Bible Scriptures 90210. Yeah.
Nice, nice. And do you want to know what I forgot?
What?
I forgot to give you the word of the show.
You did. Callie Winter said.
What's up?
He said, if the story Sunday schools were told like this, I would have gone, right? I know, right? Okay,
the word we that
and,
I have.
Oh, for, and Wuse okay. said, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. The word, yes.
The word of the show is acquiescence.
Acquiescence.
Yes. Would you like a clue?
Acquiescence. I think acquiescence. Why am I thinking horse?
I don't know.
Four legs.
Probably because that's equestrian.
Ah.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I can.
Let me put it in a sentence for you.
Yes.
Okay.
May I have the clue of the word, please?
This is in context. Okay.
Okay.
Innumeracy and pseudoscience are often associated in part because of the ease with which mathematical certainty can be invoked to bludgeon the innumerate into a dumb acquiescence. And that's from the book Innumeracy, Mathematical Illiteracy and Its Consequences.
That you can think you're so smart, but you're actually dumb?
Kind of.
I don't know. How okay. do you spell it? Should I try to?
Sure.
Should I guess? Oh my God.
You can try and spell it if you want.
I should not be spelling B. Acquiescence.
Yeah.
A.
Yes.
Q.
No.
Oh! Okay.
Do you want me to spell it for you?
Yes.
A C Q U I E. S-C-E-N-C-E. Acquiescence.
I have no idea.
Okay. It's a noun.
Okay.
Do you want me to tell you what it means?
Yeah.
Okay. Acquiescence.
Wait. Callie said, doesn't, and you cannot be Googling. Actually, Elise said, understanding?
Acquiescence is an agreement. Usually a willingness to go along with what somebody else suggests.
Ooh.
Sure, I don't mind. That sounds like a plan and a good idea. These are all ways to show your acquiescence. So now let me read that sentence back to you.
Okay.
Innumeracy and pseudoscience are often associated in part because of the ease with which mathematical certainty can be invoked to bludgeon the innumerate into a dumb acquiescence.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Will I use that word?
Maybe.
Based on that scream, maybe. We got the windows open, so if you heard that scream, it's just our neighbor.
All right.
Is probably super happy that the sun has gone down. Who knows?
That's all I got. What do you got that's left, honey?
I think that's pretty it for us. You know, I needed to kind of get it out. Check out the Chonilla page. On the page, I'll be sharing any information that you need about 7 ways white people invalidate black people's feelings, because some of y'all need to know, because I've been asked.
I got a quote too.
Okay. And also on our page, which is you go to Facebook, search for Chonilla, like the page. And then also on the page, there will be a post on if you... You know, one of the things is like some people feel helpless and they don't know what to do. And like, you know, so there'll be a link of a Google Doc, which is resources for non-black folks to support black communities in Canada. So, so go to the site. This is an ongoing document. It's a working document. So if there's any other resource or any suggestion for this, you can contact whoever's the email in there. So that will be on the page. Thank you so much for listening to us. You can follow us on Twitter at Chonilla. Follow us on Instagram at Chonilla Love. If you are an interracial couple, we'd love to read your story. Head over again to the Chonilla page on Facebook. Fill out the form and you never know. You might be reading your love story on the show. That's about it.
Can I do the quote?
Yes.
Okay. The quote is, what the people want is very simple. They want an America as good as its promise. That was by Barbara Jordan, who was the first African-American elected to the Texas Senate after Reconstruction and the first Southern African-American woman elected to the United States House of Representatives.
Wow. Can I have one too? Another quote. That for a lot to remember. Prejudice is the emotional commitment to ignorance.
Mm.
Remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan Rutzman. Thank you so much for listening to the show, y'all. Until next time.
Had a great time.
Me too. It was heavy.
Till next time.
Till next time. All right. Peace. Stay tuned. ChonillaNetwork.com. Fill out the newsletter, and then that way you'll know the next time we're on live.
Thanks so much for coming through, J-Mac and Maxim.
Really
appreciate it, brother.
And thank you for the people on Instagram. Who say you have to be? There we go. Elise. What up? Thank you. And Callie Winter. Thanks, y'all, for being in the Instagram live on at Chonilla Love, y'all.
I definitely want to hang out with Maxim, just the three of us, and just kind of chop it up a little bit.
Yes, yep. Catch up for sure. All right, peace, y'all.
Take care, everybody.
Bye.
As always, it's super fun. Wow, that like getting caught up on all of that stuff. Oh, you're not. Just getting caught up on all that stuff is wow.
Was it a lot?
Oh.
Yeah, because you.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, you hear about stuff, but it's wild how it just all just kind of builds up.
Yeah, the impact of hearing it too.
Yeah.
When you hear it like as a checklist like that.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean?
In terms of like the terms
what's,
of like
what's going down, like what's happened. You know what I mean? Like you can do a checklist like this happened, this happened, this happened, and it's like. For me, the pattern is so obvious. It's so like there's issues here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the response being like, we don't see an issue, is the reason why we have riots.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So like what did MLK, he said riot is the voice of people who aren't heard.
Yeah, let me
can't remember.
I want the exact exactly.
But thank you so much for getting, like, Shirley, thank you so much for being able to absorb that information.
Aw, thanks,
and
man.
Talk about it. Oh, my God. Because there was times, like, before we recorded this episode, that you had seen things that you were emotionally,
like,
charged by. Like, I was,
yeah, I mean, I forgot to mention, like, you were talking about going downstairs and, you know, catching my aunt, like she was crying about
this. Oh my God.
Because it was just,
she was trying to explain to me what was happening to George Floyd and or what had happened, and she just broke down.
Yeah. A riot is the language of the unheard.
Yeah.
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 That's, yeah.
Yeah.
I think America must see riots do not develop out of thin air. Certain conditions continue to exist in our society, which must be condemned as vigorously as we condemn riots. But in the final analysis, a riot is the language of the unheard. What is it that America has failed to hear? It has failed to hear that the plight of the Negro poor has worsened over the last few years. It has failed to hear that the promises of freedom and justice have not been met. And it has failed to hear that large segments of white society are more concerned about tranquility and the status quo than about justice, equality, and humanity. And so in a real sense, our nation's summers of riots are caused by our nation's winters of delay. And as long as America postpones justice, we stand in the position of having these recurrences of violence and riots over and over again. Social justice and progress are the absolute guarantors of riot prevention.
Shale Davis said the cop who killed George Floyd, DDA said that his wife is divorcing him, and Shale Davis said the cop that killed George Floyd, she's probably just doing it to protect their assets.
Wow.
Wait, you're still listening to podcasts? Well, if you love this episode of the Chonilla Podcast so much, just head over to iTunes or Spotify to subscribe and leave a review, I guess.